And now, from high atop the Camelback Towers in Scottsdale, from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, a man whose life revolves around his family, sports, grilling, and bad jokes, your host of the Dad Podcast, talking all things dad, here's Chris Brewer.
All right, another Thursday, another Dad Podcast. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sean, Chris, welcome. Robin.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
No Jason. He had to pull another shift at CVS this week, so he's not able to join us. I think we all know that the firefighter thing, that is made up. So,
like a magic mic thing?
I don't know what he's doing. I had an interesting night last night. So I've got, it's a true story, I've got a coworker that it's been his goal to ride a bull. You know, like 8 seconds, right? Riding a real bull. He's attempted it twice and has lasted somewhere between 2 and 3 seconds each time.
Are we talking about riding the bull?
Okay. He's lasted 2 to 3 seconds. And then usually we know well in advance and we plan something for work around this and go and support him. And then it was like a week ago, it was announced, hey guys, I was able to get a ride, I guess they call it. So last night, co-worker Scott was attempting to ride the bull again. And myself and a few other co-workers went to support him and cheer him on. And he lasted again about 2 seconds and then just got tossed hard to the ground. And it was like, whoa, that looked bad. And saw him after they got him out of there, and he looked a little startled, different than the previous two rides, and his family was around him. He's like, Chris, I'm pretty sure I broke my collarbone. I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry, that has gotta hurt. And just let his family take care of him, and then we went on our way. And then this morning, get a text from him. Let me read it. Let me bring it up. I hope I got everyone that came. So anyway, the wreck was pretty bad. I broke my collarbone, 4 ribs, and have a punctured lung. But it looks like I can be back at work sometime next week. I'm in ICU because I have a tube in my chest. I'm now retired from bull riding. So that was interesting.
That's not an easy thing to do.
Oh, and
I was waiting to see if you were joking.
I was not joking. And last night was different because the other two times, this is a place in Cave Creek, Arizona called the Buffalo Chip. And the other two times, it's just been like a bunch of Scots, a bunch of amateurs who've paid to have the opportunity to ride the bull. But last night, it was like Scott. I think there may have been one other guy who was in the same boat. And then everybody else were like professional bull riders. Like we were seeing them last for, you know, the 8 seconds, and then they got out of there. It was nuts. The other thing that was crazy, so I told you I saw Scott after the race, and he, or not the race, after the ride, and I'm going over to him and making sure he's okay, his family's there, and then there's another guy that walks up, and he just starts talking, and he's like, hurting a wreck, need a check, call 977, and I'm like, what?
A little ambulance chaser?
Kevin Rowe of Lerner and Rowe happened to be there and immediately went up to him and was offering his services. And then I'm talking. I only know them of Lerner and Rowe. I learned his name was Kevin. Tried to get him on the show. He could not come on for legal reasons. But Kevin Rowe was dressed in full cowboy outfit at the Buffalo Chip last night and tried to help my friend Scott. So.
Well, you can't sue them. I mean, don't you sign a disclaimer?
I didn't want to get into it.
Yeah, I wrote an actual bull and I had to just sign a disclaimer. So,
lawyers will do whatever they want to do.
That's true. They'll still chase.
I left it as whatever. Lerner's the better attorney anyway, and then I walked out.
Right. So,
yeah. Did you learn that he was?
That was horrible.
I tried.
Anyway. Okay, quick story. I thought you'd appreciate. So, I think you guys know this, listeners. Obviously, you don't know this.
Wait a minute. You just went from to listeners.
Listeners.
I know. You used to say listener. Congratulations. You got more than one now.
Lerner is listening. I know that. So he got his own plural there. But I've done this for 8 years now. I coach a middle school tennis team. And we had practice this week. And so I'll tell one quick story. So I'm going through the courts. There's got practice matches going on. And, guys, you'll appreciate this. So I go up to this girl, she's like 12, and I've known her for like a year. And I've worked with her, and we've always had good conversations, and nothing abnormal. And I go up to her, I'm like, let's go. And she's like, where? And I'm like, no, let's go. And she's like, yeah, where? She did not know what the term "let's go" meant.
Interesting.
And I was like, somebody help me out here. How do we not know what "let's go"? She was, I felt so bad for her, but she was genuinely okay. Where? Anyway, I thought you'd appreciate that. And then it was our first match yesterday. So at the same practice, I've brought the whole team in, and parents can kind of sit up top, and they're listening to me, getting them ready at the end of practice for our first match, which is the next day. And I'm going over all of the stuff that'll happen. And then one of the players asks, Coach, who are we playing tomorrow? And I name the name of the team. And they're like, okay. And I said, just keep in mind, guys, this is the number two ranked middle school tennis team in the country. And there, I can hear the parents chuckling, but the kids are looking at me like, seriously? I'm like, no, there's no national rankings for middle school tennis teams, guys. And then one kid clearly is not paying attention. And then with very scared eyes, he's like, they're number two. Well, what are we ranked, Coach? And I'm like, no, Weston, there are no rankings for middle school tennis. I was just joking. So it was fun. We did not have a good match yesterday, but good kids, fun stuff. Anyway, we kind of had to rush through some stuff at the end of the show last week, and I was like, you know, we could easily make Vegas Reno like a two-parter, and I'm like, let's just continue the conversation, because I'm going back in a few weeks. It wasn't originally planned, but I'm going back in a few weeks, and so I'm still kind of in Vegas mode. So I was
I want to talk about that, Chris. How are you getting away with the two of you doing that without your daughter?
I got called out by someone else on that too.
Yeah, I that wouldn't happen if it was me.
That would not happen if it was. What would you do?
My wife and my daughter would be going.
Gotcha.
Guaranteed.
Is she too old to talk about? I mean, you've seen the commercial where the guy is like telling his son when he's reading him the book about they do nothing but serve broccoli this, broccoli that in Vegas. And
that is a great commercial. I love that commercial.
I don't think I've ever seen this commercial.
Oh, it's so funny. He sits there and he's reading a book and he says, broccoli milkshakes, broccoli.
Oh, yes. That is a good commercial.
And the kid's like, yes. Dad, I don't want to go to Vegas with you and mom.
But Chris, and I have 17-year-old daughters.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That doesn't work then.
This was originally planned a while ago as a trip for the two of us to go. Like Alex wanted me to go to this concert with her. So that was always the original plan. Then we all know what happened with like the Taylor Swift concert tickets, and it turned into a whole debacle. And then Alex was put like in this raffle, I think, of people who kind of got screwed out of tickets or something like that. I don't know the whole story. I probably do know the whole story. I have probably forgotten the details of the story. And then she got this email out of the blue. Congratulations, you've won two tickets. So now we're going. But I did have someone else ask me that, like, why isn't your daughter going? And then someone said, guys don't go to Taylor Swift concerts. And I'm like,
they really don't have an answer is what it comes down to.
I'm giving my answer, but I don't know.
I'm surprised with Sean's version of what would go down in his household. I figured your wife would not go. And you would take your daughter on one condition, that you could drive her car there and listen to the Taylor Swift anthology the entire way.
That might happen as well. I'm not
that
gonna
could
lie,
happen.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're calling me out.
But Chris may be the only the oldest. I'm gonna make a gamble that says that you're the oldest male in the place.
I don't think I'm going to be. And I'm
That's a bold call.
I'll say two things. One, I'm surprised by the pushback from Sean, given the fact he's seen Sheena Easton 25 times by himself. So that's nuts.
I invited you twice.
Twice. Yes. And both times I said no. And you still went.
Not my fault.
Two, and this is a true story, Dan Patrick, who I know I've mentioned on the show a few times, he saw Britney Spears in concert by himself. So if Dan Patrick can go see Britney Spears by himself, I think it's okay for a husband to go with his wife to go see Taylor Swift.
Is it an excuse to go to Vegas, or are you... Which is it?
There's some truth. No, there's probably some truth to that. It's an opportunity to go to Vegas. But shoot, guys, this is not just Vegas, but this concert is in the stadium where the Raiders play. So it's an opportunity to see that. And Taylor Swift is like his biggest thing in the world right now. No, isn't she like one of the biggest stars? So the opportunity to do all that,
especially the 17-year-old girls, that's all I'm saying.
Anyway, I'm going back to Vegas in a few weeks. Sean is googling where is Sheena Easton playing next.
I don't know. While we're talking next weekend.
Here's the cool thing though that I realized, guys, and I just realized it a few days ago. I've never experienced this. I've been to Vegas obviously a ton of times. So have you guys. I've never been to Las Vegas during March Madness. I'm going to be there during the Sweet 16.
That'll be fun.
So that's going to be awesome.
That will be great, man.
Yeah, I mean that's a totally different experience, and I've heard Vegas for March Madness is incredible, where you know the hotels set up areas for you know viewing, and I think you got to pay for that stuff, but that's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, that'll be fun, man. I'm excited.
No,
it.
I'm looking forward to that.
I want to give a shout out to my, my kids' high school. They go to a very small high school. You could probably fit my daughter's senior class into a few classrooms. But they happen to have an excellent basketball team, and they won their division of the regional division of CIF this last week, and it was just an excellent game. And it's so entertaining to watch these kids play. Kind of like watching. I think watching college basketball in March Madness is so much more entertaining than the NBA. And this was kind of like that. It was so neat to watch.
That's
but
awesome.
California high school sports, it's funny, like even participating in like Chris and I did, I was always, you know, you hear about the CIF champs and this and that, and there's just so, I think in the state of California, there's 10 different divisions, and then within those divisions, they're divided up into about 10 different sections. So, neither of my kids play basketball, but they go to a small high school and they won their section of CIF, which is like the California. What does it stand for again, Chris?
California Interscholastic
Federation.
Perhaps. Right?
But very small high school and very neat to watch them all win. So this was the regionals, and they are going to play in Sacramento for their final game, I think.
When was the championship game?
This last week.
What day?
Gosh, you're testing me. Wednesday night.
Okay, I'm asking that because you said you were there, but on Facebook you posted all of these pictures how excited you were to be at the Leanne Rimes concert, and that was Wednesday night. So were you at the back? Okay, you were okay. I think we got you there.
Yeah.
So they're going to Vegas.
I wouldn't miss Leanne Rimes for.
I know that. I know
so,
that.
Yeah.
You're wearing a Leanne Rimes hoodie right now.
Yeah.
Listener, you can't see it, but it is a beautiful turquoise Leanne Rimes hoodie. So are they going to Vegas? Is that why you're bringing this up?
The no, team? You brought up March Madness, and it just reminded me.
Oh, okay.
Just basketball in general. And,
got it.
School sports, but yeah, they're going to Sacramento.
Okay, Sacramento, the Vegas of the West. So it's the same.
The Vegas of California.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really why I was
awesome. So I was thinking about this in regards to Vegas, like okay, why is it like an enjoyable place for me to go now at like 47? Because it's different than it used to be. Like when we were growing up, it probably the same-ish for Reno, I guess. Like before it was like cool because of Swingers, maybe even like Ocean's 11, and it just looked cool. And now I'm like, well, I've never liked clubs. Never enjoyed going to like a club. Not like partying or anything like that. It's a place to go, and we could, living in Phoenix, I could just drive there. It's a place to go where you can have no agenda. Like, we're all busy dads, and, like, my every day is so agenda-driven. I've got to be here by this time, and I got to be there by that time, and I got to pick this person up by this time, and if I don't make it to this place by this time, all that stuff. And so now, going to Las Vegas, you could go a whole day with no agenda, get a good meal, sit at a table, and it's like sitting on the couch, but you're maybe winning some money and you're getting some free drinks. I'm like, I think at my age and with how busy my schedule is every day, that's why I really enjoy going to Las Vegas for a weekend to just decompress and just take a deep breath. Does that make sense to you guys?
It makes complete sense to me. But I think there is a hidden variable there of a driving force of why you like the Nugget so much, not just Fremont Street and the easy tables and all all that stuff. But it's the convenient location of the Chick-fil-A right next to the elevator before you head up to the tower. I mean, so that's subliminally on your agenda is to hit the Chick-fil-A, but you just don't realize it. But if you look at your bank account statement, you can account for how many times you stuck your neck in there really quick and carried on.
Just my take on it. It's a perfect take because I remember walking through the Golden Nugget and seeing the sign that said Chick-fil-A coming soon. And I remember my eyes just lit up and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is awesome.
This may have been my favorite hotel before, but now it just went over the top.
This is the best day ever. I love it. There were a few places, speaking of chicken, there were a few places I wanted to make sure to mention that I didn't get in on the last show, but there was a place in particular downtown that is kind of special to me. So I went to Vegas by myself for a conference for work. And at the time, it was like in the middle of COVID, and ton of places were closed. And this place in particular, I discovered it downtown that they were highly rated. And I was like, I'm gonna try that place. I hope they're open, because like I said, so many places were closed down. Or masks only, and all of these things, takeout only. And this place was trying to stay open and just stay open. And it's called Flippin' Good Cheeseburgers and Chicken. And when I went there the first time, like I said, heart of COVID, I was the only customer. And there was a bartender / waiter, and then the staff in the back cooking, and it's just me. And they treated me like royalty, and I'll never forget it. Like, they were doing everything they could to stay open. They've got this one customer, and it was like, we're not just gonna half-ass this because it's just one guy here. They took the other route of, no, let's make this the best experience possible for this guy. And if we can...
Well, you finally got the treatment you deserved and expect.
I was trying to think of something funny. I couldn't. It was... The food was amazing. The service was amazing. They keep bringing stuff out like, hey, you should try this, or... I noticed you asked for this. You should try this spice. And it was just, I never forgot it. And so I've made a point of bringing people back to that place. So we went there, guys, on that trip, if you recall. And now there's one of the highest rated places to eat in Vegas for that, you know, that type of food, Nashville hot chicken, burgers, fries. And that place is special to me. I wanted to make sure to mention that place. Chris,
the food was phenomenal. I loved it.
It was amazing.
The Nashville hot chicken was what I got, and then I got Ray ordered some the fried zucchini, and everything that we had at our table was really good.
Yes,
including the environment and the scenery, like just where the setting was cool too.
And didn't we have an awesome waitress?
We did.
Wasn't yep. Yeah? Oh, she yeah. was like going above and beyond. Like they just do things right. And so I've noticed they are doing awesome. And there were a number of places that have closed down since then. And I just I give them all the credit that they just continued to do everything they could the right way. And it's now paid off for them. And then
that may have been one of those experiences, Burr, I'm not sure, but where your humor was so dry that the three of us were all telling you to apologize to the waitress for being a jerk.
But I vaguely remember what you're talking about.
We're going on your memory, though.
That's a dangerous subject. What were you talking about? She was really cool though, but I do believe I made some dry jokes, and I don't think she got them. I think I remember that. Another place that I failed in two episodes to mention that I wanted to make sure, it's a place called Best Friend, and it's inside Park MGM, and it's I'm not a celebrity chef restaurant fan, but I love this chef, Roy Choi, and wanted to make sure to mention this place. So listener, if you're in Vegas, it's one of the best meals I ever had, guys. This last time in Vegas was at Best Friend, Roy Choi's place. We had this spicy shrimp, we had this short rib, some sort of spicy rice. It was freaking incredible. Because usually, there are things about Vegas I'm not a fan of. Definitely not a fan of like seeing the drugs or all of the homelessness in front of restaurants and hotels, and we can go on and on, all a bunch of the junk on Fremont Street, but. One thing that I'm not a big fan of in Vegas is the celebrity chef restaurant. I always find it overpriced, underdelivered, and it's just you go there just because it's owned by a celebrity chef, and usually it's underwhelming. And if you do a little research, you can find someplace better off the strip or those hidden gems. But this place frickin' delivered. It was awesome. So, Best Friend, inside Park MGM. Was
nice.
You mentioned a place, Chris, in Reno that you loved. Were there some other spots where you're
there? There were plenty of them. They're a totally different environment because there is an area of Reno that's more newly developed. I call it riverfront. I don't know what the hell it's referred to there, but it's right on the water, and they have it built where a lot of the store fronts are facing the water, but there's not a street attached to the front of them. You park and then you walk, parallel with the water flow there. Then they have steps that go down into the water. It's channel steady flow of water that goes through there, but they all have these really cool areas set up for patios out front. And, there's a fence to separate them, but they all kind of bleed into each other socially. So you're talking to people that are, at a Italian place right next to you that are eating out that happen to be there because they're doing a wine tour. And that's on the wine tour stop. So the place that I'm referring to, it's called the Old Bridge Pub. And we didn't know anything about it. We just went down there to check the area out. And it was a really nice, like, English-looking pub. Everything was kind of dark, rich mahogany in there, was referenced. But they had great food.
60% of the time it works every time.
Every time.
But it was a dog-friendly place, so there were dogs in there. I remember we were hanging out at a picnic bench with some guys from I don't remember where. They had some French bulldogs. And everybody was just hanging out, and the ratio was like 3-1 people to dogs. So, it was just a cool scene, and you had a great view, good drinks. They had great craft.
I don't know how many times I've hung out with a bunch of guys I don't know who have French bulldogs.
Hey,
and we're just all,
yes, you do, Chris.
That's a first for me.
My name's Chris. Can I join this party?
It was a good group. Old Bridge Pub was awesome.
Okay.
They opened at like 3:00.
Nice.
We weren't there for the night scene. We were there when the sun was up just to kind of check everything out. But they had food options everywhere. It's like you want sushi. There's a local sushi joint, not a franchise, Reno specific. And it was all nice. So that was something atypical. I wasn't ready for nice, clean lines on a restaurant with a good view.
I know you haven't been there in a while. I'd be curious, if there are celebrity chef restaurants in Reno.
Yeah, I'm sure there are, man. there has to be. There's plenty of casinos.
Yeah.
They kind of go hand in hand, you know.
Another place in Vegas that I'm not a fan of. We did not go here, guys. If you want, like, if you're curious and you want to get an STD, go to the pool at the Link. That was one of the grossest things I've ever seen. So I was staying at the Link, and we were like, let's go check out the pool. And I don't know how they did it, but somehow they got every ugly, slutty person who thought they were hot. They managed to get them all into one spot and then put them into the swimming pool. That was one of the grossest things I've ever seen. I swam laps for like 30 minutes.
I believe it.
Yeah. No, it was, I've never seen anything like it. It was like being at one of Sean's birthday parties.
Wow.
Do they still have an active porn scene in Vegas?
I don't know, but I think it was in that pool.
Maybe that's what was going on. You never know.
Yeah, that was.
You could probably just create one anywhere there.
It was the grossest pool area thing I had ever seen. We walked in, whoa, and let's go find something else to do. I don't think we're going swimming. Sean, do you remember this? Do you remember when you and I drove to Vegas together?
Yes.
And
like it was yesterday.
And we had a really unique experience that I've never forgotten it. Despite my memory, Chris, we were in Sean's convertible driving to Vegas, and it started raining, and the top was down. And then
Chevrolet.
It was awesome. It was just like a gentle shower.
It was a gentle shower. Yes, and it didn't get wet, but then it started to really rain hard, and we needed to pull over and put up the top really quick.
Shockingly, I've forgotten that portion of the story. Did we really have to pull over?
I believe we did, yeah. There was an underpass that we finally got to pull over and put at the top.
That's right. You hugged me, yeah. And you're like, I was getting scared.
You were, that yeah.
Yeah.
You were getting scared. That was it.
No, I it was reversed. Do you remember something stupid on that trip?
Yes. You eating something. I forget what it was.
I didn't eat it. So
you put a bee on your tongue.
Oh.
Was that a different thing.
So listener, Chris, we were there for our roommate's friend's birthday party or something. Again, an excuse to go to Vegas. Because I didn't
Newport time frame.
Yes, we were living in Newport Beach. We had a third roommate who I was more acquaintances with. Sean was friends with her, very very nice people, and her family lived down there and invited us out for might have been the roommate's brother's birthday or something. So we're at the Rio.
That's right.
And we're. Big family dinner, and I don't know how we got on this, but the family ordered all the food, and they brought out like this huge bowl of baked potatoes, whole baked potatoes, and I don't know why, but one of my roommate's relatives, she was very cool. She was older than us by so we were probably 25 around this time. She was maybe like 35, 40. And she bet me $5 to smash a whole baked potato against my forehead at the table. Well, here's the thing. Here's my logic at the time, being 25. I'm like, I'm in Vegas and I have like $40 to my name. I could have $5 more to gamble with. So I smashed the whole baked potato into my forehead, and she gave me $5. Yeah, that's
I thought
the.
That, I thought you were going to lose five and be down. That's where I thought that was going.
That was actually my that was my first bet at a sports book. I put $20 of my $45. I put $20 down on the Clippers to cover against, I believe, the Vancouver Grizzlies. And I won the bet, and I thought that I was like royalty because I won like, oh my gosh, I've gone from 40 to like 80. Now I can gamble. So pathetic. I did have one Vegas story that involved Chicago Fire, unless you guys have something. Sean, do you have any Vegas stories on your own that don't include my stupidity?
You've mentioned going there during the pandemic a couple of times, and I drove through there during that time when the strip was a ghost town, and it was very, very eerie.
That was weird.
That was just weird.
I have pictures of this being on the strip, and I took pictures, and there's nobody in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting like at a slot machine then, and taking a picture of I'm the only person in the on that row of slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, sorry.
I had a couple of experiences. I mentioned Halloween one time. A bunch of friends of mine,
right,
including my wife, who was just a friend of mine at the time also, we all went out there for Halloween, and we all decided to dress as superheroes and go clubbing or whatever we did. I made a costume out of 100% duct tape and had a big D on my chest, and everyone, I owned Vegas that night. It was really, really exciting.
Wait a minute. Describe this costume. What's underneath the duct tape?
More duct tape. Just back to back.
You were just covered in duct tape.
Yeah, but it was a great outfit. I'll send you pictures.
I don't remember this Marvel superhero.
Well, neither did I, but everyone in Vegas knew exactly who I was. I was Duct Tape Man. Because I had the D on my chest and the goggles, and I had a roll of duct tape on my holster, and I was duct taping people to the chairs as they were gambling. You couldn't do that these days.
Yeah, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
What was the name of this gay club you were at?
Oh, jeez.
I would have fit in very well at any gay club.
It was a Blue Oyster.
Especially the Blue Oyster.
My Lord.
Don't get me started on the Blue Oyster.
When did you come up with this idea?
Probably about 24 hours before that happened, but it's been resurrected multiple times now.
I would just like to point out that the beginning of the show was you giving me a hard time for going to see Taylor Swift with my wife, yet it comes out that you walked the streets of Vegas as Duct Tape Man. And somehow I'm the idiot.
Proudly.
Got it.
Hey, it's an original idea.
It's a very original
idea.
Gotta
give him credit for that.
Plus, listener, you should know that Sean actually, this isn't a joke. I remember you created a wallet out of duct tape.
Yeah,
you
I
did.
I did a lot of that too. So
it was a functioning wallet.
It was decades in the making, is what it comes down to.
And what was your wife dressed as?
A superhero. Everyone else was a normal superhero. I was the only one that kind of went out on a limb.
So basically, you don't remember. I think that's okay. Got it.
You were like the Adult Swim superhero, right? Like that line?
Exactly. There you go.
How long did it take you to put the duct tape on?
Well, it took me a while to make the duct tape, but I still have it. It's just a shirt and a pants that I can now slip on.
I'm envisioning that someone was wrapping duct tape all around your body. No?
No.
Got it. Because Robin's shaking her head no.
No, that
too.
Would hurt.
That's what I wanted, though. Like, deep down, I wanted that to be the scenario.
I know you did. I know you did. That would have been much more Blue Oyster.
I believe this trumps the baked potato story.
It was a fun night.
And so this was during Halloween. So what happens? What is unique about Vegas at Halloween? I've never been there during that time.
Well, I think back in the day of the clubbing was a lot of fun on Halloween, just because of the.
I hate clubs.
Everyone dressing up. I do too now, but we're old now, and we're talking about a minute ago.
I've only been to one club in Vegas. It wasn't by choice, but I was there for our good buddy Amit's bachelor party, and his brother put it together, and we went to the club Tao. Tao.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, guys, we're going to have bottle service and everything. I just wanted a damn beer, and I couldn't get that. No, they put like, you know, I didn't even know what bottle service was, but I'm like, okay, that must be awesome. They just put bottles of, now I guess I would like it because I like cocktails, but at the time I just drank beer, and you couldn't get one, and they were putting like bottles of vodka on the table, and then you got to like mix your own drink. And then there were, and it was like, I just want to go to a sports bar or something. It just was not my thing. Chris, have you ever been into clubs?
No. I mean, I was 16 or 17.
Applebee's does not count as a club.
No. We're talking Napa, California. Night scene. There was this one dance club that changed names a couple times. I was never really comfortable there, but I went because, you know, girls were there. So that was fun, just that whole thing. But I only went because it was the cool thing to do. You know, we weren't getting drinks or anything. But as an adult, clubbing was not my thing. I'd rather go to just a bar.
Is that the time you wrapped yourself in blue painter's tape?
No.
It was a different time?
No, that was for the Lions Club pancake breakfast.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that. You went as blue tape man. That was fascinating. Okay, so I did have this experience in Vegas, and I shouldn't even be telling you this. It's embarrassing, but I'm going to tell
you. You definitely shouldn't tell me this.
An embarrassing Chris Brewer story?
I thought I'd bring it up because it, for some reason, I keep bringing up Chicago Fire, and these two are totally blended. And so I've been to London, and I've been on the Ferris wheel in London. And I can't remember what it's called. But it's identical to the one that they have in Las Vegas. And when I went on the Ferris wheel in London, I absolutely loved it. And I'm getting up, I'm walking around, and you can just see, all, I don't know, miles above the city of London. And I thought it was an awesome experience. So then they build it in Las Vegas, and so a few trips back, Alex and I are like, let's go on when we go there, let's go on the Ferris wheel. Well, I believe it was the night before we left for Las Vegas, I'm watching an episode of Chicago Fire, and it's like this high rise fire. And the only way for this lady to get down was by the ladder. And I am afraid of heights. And I remember my wife and I talking, Alex and I talking about it. I'm like, I don't know if I could have gone down that ladder. They are so high up. I probably would have a heart attack trying to go down that ladder. Well, we're in line to get onto the Ferris wheel now the next day or couple days later to get on the Ferris wheel in Las Vegas. And guys, if you look at it closely, you will see on the Ferris wheel that they have built in a ladder on the Ferris wheel. So like the Ferris wheel is white and you can see that they've built in like steps. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, that's the exit plan. If something happens to this Ferris wheel and they can't get the people down, that's what they're going to ask us to do, is go down this built-in ladder. I'm like, there's no freaking way. So now I can't get this thought out of my head when we go on the Ferris wheel. And I've like frozen myself because I'm thinking, if this thing stops, I got to walk down that freaking ladder. I will die.
Alex is raising the family solo.
She's walking around. Other people are walking around. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, there's no way I'm going down that ladder. I totally got into my own head there. So I am determined the next time, probably this next time, I'm getting back on the horse. I'm getting back on that Ferris wheel and being a man and not a 5-year-old boy. So I had to, I thought you'd appreciate that little Chicago Fire and Vegas. Anyway, there's something we need. Do you have any more Reno stories, Chris? Because your Reno story from the last episode was the star of the show. The one with the, I believe it was the overweight cop, and he went over the handlebars.
Yes. Yeah, that was amazing. Actually.
I had so many people bringing that story up to me.
I don't have,
do you have
any
more Reno gems?
A gem was actually a successful one. We were gambling, and my buddy and I were in the same area. He was playing on a penny slot. He had no idea what the hell he was doing. Maybe it was a nickel slot. I don't know. But it was one of those where the screen is huge. There's wheels spinning. They're lining up diagonals and every type of symmetrical combination you can. And you don't realize when you won or not. Well, he was doing that, just kind of messing around, and he won $1,000 on this nothing machine. And I'm sitting there, you know, in the area on the Wheel of Fortune thing, and I'm going, oh. Comes over. Somebody comes over from the place and talks to him, and, you know, he won $1,000. So he's excited. And less than 5 minutes later, I won $1,000 on the Wheel of Fortune thing.
Wow.
So we took a picture. I went and cashed mine immediately. So I had 10 hundies, you know, just look like a baller, you know, at that age. I had to have I was like, I don't want this piece of paper. Give me the cash. I want the cash. So I got mine, and he kept his slip because he went and gambled with other slips that he had. He was accumulating. Like, he was one of the guys of the group that has the players club cards that you can put in and, you know, track for whatever rewards or discounts or free omelets or whatever the hell you get. But, you know, he'd go to Reno on the drop of a dime if it was available.
How old were you?
I think Ben was maybe 2. I mean, maybe even 1. I don't know. It was a stretch for me to go because I was contacting my wife constantly on that trip, just checking in, you know, the new dad, only child that don't know what the hell is going on, that kind of stuff.
Well, I think that was when she was on probation, so she had to be checking in with you.
Was that the ankle bracelet or
yeah.
No ankle bracelet?
That was an ankle bracelet.
So was the $1,000 worth Betsy's wrath? Are you going to Vegas?
It was, because we didn't look at it as like, oh, I made a bunch of money. We looked at it as, we have $2,000 to spend on the four of us. and you know, we lived a little more lavishly for that night and the following morning. So it's rare to hit something like that and then have the person you're hanging out with hit one in the same
area.
That's
incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live like kings for a small fraction of time, because I look at wins. If you do gamble and win, look at it as extra leisure recreation money, you know, just kind of keep it there, enjoy things a little more. don't stress about the financial stuff if you are in the first place. You shouldn't. But it was just a little extra bonus. Sure. So, yeah, we enjoyed that.
It's not Vegas, but it's gambling. In college, we had a dog track near us. And for just something to do, like on a Friday night, we would go to the dog track and bet, you know, $10, $20. None of us had any money. We all decided to go to the dog track this one night. And this girl that I was very good friends with, she and I decided that night that we would bet all the same races, but we were not allowed to make identical bets. So we ended up, we are about to make an identical bet on this one race, and I decided to be the good guy, and I change my bet. It was like a parlay or something. I don't remember the terminology, but I changed one dog, like, to, instead of finishing second, to finish third. The thing hits. She wins like $800. I would have won $800. I end up winning like $65. And I was so pissed.
Way to be a good guy.
I know.
Hey Chris, this last weekend, little side comment here. I was in Fort Collins, Colorado, and with my wife and my daughter, and they both say, "What's that smell?" And I immediately thought of you. Mm. That's Greeley.
That's Greeley.
The winds are strong.
You must have been there on a Tuesday. listener, I hate to do this, but I received a photograph just now. Sean, this is going to be your last episode on the show. I have received the picture of Duct Tape Man. There is no way in God's name we are remaining friends.
Put it up on the Facebook page.
Not after. This is it. Definitely. And
jealousy is an ugly thing, Chris. Jealousy is an ugly thing.
I'm starting to think my club comment might be true. Looking at this thing, I am deeply disturbed. This took a lot of guts to wear in Vegas, Sean, and I'm definitely putting it on the Facebook page. I'm showing it to Robin. Robin has to see this.
I bet Robin will respect it.
I think she is respecting it,
dude,
actually.
Dude, you could be like in the Village. What do they call that band from years ago?
Village People.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could actually be in that.
There you go, Sean. You could have been part of the Village People.
Could have been.
Yeah. Could have been. Your parents would have been proud.
A few decades too late, though.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, guys, Chris, you still there? Maybe. I don't. Sean.
No, I'm here.
Okay, Sean and Chris. We've got to fill out brackets next week.
Can't wait, man. I thought about it this morning.
When does that start? When do we need to get that done by?
Well, here was
what are they available to do?
I had two thoughts here. One, I could put together a group on ESPN Bracket Challenge, and it could just be our group. Okay. The other option. And it could just be myself, you, Sean, you, Chris, and Jason, and Robin can fill out a bracket if she wants. Or do we open this up that listeners can be part of the bracket challenge?
Last option, because that's what I wasn't going to suggest, but you're already on it. Okay. I go with that for sure.
I'd love the listeners to be part of it.
Yeah.
The listeners, as well as if your wives, if your kids
right.
want to fill one out, you know, let's roll, let's make it big.
And so, listener, I will put this on the Dad Podcast Facebook page, on where you can sign up for our ESPN Bracket Challenge. It'll be under the Dad Podcast. Are we doing this for pride or prize?
Why can't you do both?
Well, I mean, do we want to charge like $10 and winner take all, or second place wins something, third place wins something, or do we just play?
I say involve money. But
I do too.
That That's my take.
Okay, man. That's perfect.
Pride is more important.
But we've spent 2 weeks talking about Vegas and Reno and gambling, so we might as well end it with a little March Madness bracket challenge.
$10 pot.
$10 pot.
All right.
And I think that'll work.
I can't wait to see Jason's bracket.
Jason will base all of his picks on uniform colors and mascots.
Mascots.
I like Falcons. I'll pick them. He's gonna kill me for that. Anyway.
No, he won't.
Do you guys have any last second Vegas, Reno places, things that you needed to get out?
I wanted to thank you for your trip upcoming because Chris is going to be a rum mule for me. That's a big deal. So he's picking up some stuff that can only be bought there. There is no generic alternative. There is no other version of it. So kudos. I'm actually putting it on record. I'm thanking you for something.
I appreciate that. Thanks,
man. Likewise.
All right, guys. Again, listener, check out the Dad Bodcast Facebook page. We'll have the information for our bracket challenge. And we'll be on next week during the very beginning of the tournament.
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, have a great week.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Bodcast with Chris Brewer. Join us next time as we continue our conversations about everything dad, right here at StarWorldWideNetworks.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.